Paramedic here from 2311 Racing. Game night's fun until someone spends 5 minutes lining up one shot. Chalk, breathe, re-chalk, still aiming. While they figure it out, I fire up Chumba Casino. I can spin anywhere, anytime, and there's always a new social casino game every week. Spins happen way faster than that shot. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
I mean, good morning. Morning. How are you doing? It has just ticked past 8 a.m. Greenwich Mean Time. On Tuesday the 27th of January in the year of our Lord 2026, I'm joined by a little Harry. How are you this morning, Harry?
Morning. Yeah, I'm good.
Good. Good. Great. Well, thanks for joining us. You are the glorious band, the chosen few. Those good enough to watch this live, I love you. Thank you for turning up. Without you, it isn't anything. It really isn't anything, is it? So, yeah, Breakfast with Bo. Bo's Breakfast Club, the BBC. All right, let's jump straight into it then. So, what have we got today? What's the world talking about on this glorious morning? It's not that glorious in Wiltshire, actually. It's windy, rainy, a bit cold. Miserable in Wiltshire, anyway. All right, so let's have a look. What's the world talking about? Right. Burnham Rebellion growing and Clan United. That's the Beckham clan. Clan United. Man United. Clever, isn't it? Clever wordplay. Very clever. Okay, the Daily Mail. What have we got? Picture of a beautiful actress there of no importance to anybody. Burnham Rebellion growing. 50 Labour MPs sign letter to Prime Minister protesting against decision to block Manchester Mayor. Kind of interesting, but doesn't really mean anything. 50 MPs. Starmer could lose 50 MPs. It wouldn't make, fundamentally wouldn't make a difference to him. That's 50 MPs sounds a lot. Is a lot, actually. Right, it is a lot. But in the terms of how big the Labour Parliamentary Party is, he wouldn't need them. If he did a three-line whip on something or other, he could lose 50 and still win votes. So there you go. All right. But it is growing. There you go. The little blurb says, following the decision to block Andy Burnham from standing in a forthcoming by-election, which has continued, the Mail reporting a growing rebellion among government officials. It reports that 50 MPs have signed a letter protesting against the decision, noting that pressure on Prime Minister Keir Starmer has intensified. I mean, a little bit, not really. I mean, he already knew who all these people were, all the hardline Andy Burnham supporters were, who would like to see him ousted. He would already have known exactly who they were. So has it really intensified? They've signed a letter, which doesn't do anything, doesn't force him to do anything. So it hasn't really intensified, has it? Okay, The Times. Oh, nice fresh warm cup of tea, absolutely delicious. Okay, The Times. Police chatbots could free up equivalent of 3,000 more officers. Great, just outsourcing police work to chatbots now. I don't know if you've ever experienced a crime, relatively small crime, in the last few years. You'll phone up the police and they'll say, well, we haven't got the resources or the inclination to actually investigate it or do anything. Here's a crime number. Thanks, bye. Like your car got stolen or you got burgled or pickpocketed or something. Here's a crime number. That's the end of the story as far as the police are concerned, essentially. So what's that? You won't even get through to a human now, just be a chatbot or something. This country. Right. Labour fears stumbling to third in by-election. Yeah, I mean, I said that, didn't I? Last week? What, the beginning of this week? It could well be that at that by-election in Manchester, in fact, my prediction, I'll make two predictions, because I don't know, who knows? It is in the balance, isn't it? It is in the balance. One prediction, my conservative prediction, is that Labour will scrape a win. Like, they'll win the seat again, but it'll be with a majority of, like, 1,000 or 2,000, or maybe just in the hundreds. If that doesn't happen, my slightly less conservative prediction is exactly that. If it swings further than I think it will, well, Reform will win it, Greens will come second, and Labour will be third. That's not unrealistic, put it that way. That's what I'm trying to say. That's not unrealistic. that Labour could finish third in that by-election, in which case there would be tons of pressure on Starmer at that point, because the results of by-elections in between general elections are always blown out of all proportion, in my opinion, blown out of all proportion. A lot of people say that. I'm not the only one saying that. Because it's all you've got to go on, isn't it? It's your only data point. So people quite often put a lot more emphasis on the results of by-elections than perhaps they merit. Perhaps not. Perhaps it is. Perhaps it does merit it. All right. hands-on grandparents help themselves too. It's a story that grandparenting is a good thing for everybody. The Sun are still going with the Beckhams. Clan United. You know, it's a very, very clever pun on Man United, isn't it? Beckham step out and show solidarity. We don't care, do we, at the Bow Show? We don't care about any of that slop. So we'll move on swiftly. The Star. Again, they've gone with the Beckhams. Nothing about Iran, nothing about Venezuela, no? No, nothing about Minneapolis, Trump, Gaza, Ukraine. No, the Beckhams. You are my everything. Don't care. The Guardian. The Guardian. Jeez Louise. The despicable Guardian. Enemy of the people, The Guardian. They go the big picture of the Beckhams, but they also say that Trump faces reckoning over killing in Minnesota. I mean, in what real way does he? Burnham has not given up, says his allies. Well, whilst Keir Starmer is the leader of the party, he's not going to get selected to be an MP for the Labour Party. I don't know what he's not given up on. There you go, okay. The Mirror, again, massive picture of the Beckhams. Victoria got given some sort of award. So the whole family, the Clan United, went out and was seen in public. Another Tory flop jumps ship. Reform's latest con. Gaffe-prone government failure Braverman cozies up to shameless Farage. Okay. This is an important story, big story this morning in Britain anyway. Is the defection of Suella Braverman, one-time Home Secretary. So let's talk all about that. In fact, we've got a poll, today's poll. I'll let Harry do the wording, but it was about Braverman. It was like, so if you're in the chat, do consider giving that a quick click and having a vote on it. You know, are you enthusiastic about Braverman joining Reform? Do you, you know, is it good in your opinion? Something like that. All right. And we'll get to it after we do the front pages and we'll see what the results are. My take is, I don't really like Reform anyway. Might end up voting for them if there's no other alternative through gritted teeth, much to my own chagrin. So, like, they're still the best option, but I'm not, like, enthusiastic about Reform. But Braverman herself. No, I don't buy it. There's many people on the right, centre-right, let's say, the dissident right, the online right, whatever you want to say, people that are sort of to the right of the Conservatives, Reform-type people and further. There's lots of people in that sphere who, like Braverman, who have bought what I consider the lie that she's actually based, that she's like a... That she's got the nativist interest at heart, that it was Rishi and others holding her back from doing the right thing. So I don't buy any of that. No, I don't buy any of that. That's gaslighting. That's part of her media team trying to spin things to best suit her career and stuff. I really don't get it. And it's quite prevalent as well. It's quite prevalent in like the centre right or the online right or whatever. That Braverman was really one of the good ones. If only she was sort of allowed to act, she would have like saved us or whatever. She would have stopped the boats, or she would have reversed immigration or anything like that. No, I don't buy it. Come on, don't be naive. Come on, oh sweet summer child. That's what they do. They lie. They lie. They spin and they spin and they spin and they lie. You know, with David Cameron, we will reduce immigration to tens of thousands. It increased to millions. Rishi, his slogan for government was stop the boats. Didn't stop the boats. They increased in numbers, if anything. Right? Boris, getting in on a ticket of reversing immigration, essentially. And you get the giant Boris wave. They spin and they spin and they spin and they lie and they lie. And all the while, the proof is in the pudding that we're invaded by more and more people. Suella Braverman was Home Secretary throughout most of 2023, right? She gets in what, October, November 22, and resigns in October, November 23. So for about a year. That was one of the worst times. That was among one of the worst times for us being invaded. That's the proof. And even if I was to be kind, even if I was to grant those that say Braverman just had her hands tied and actually she's one of the good ones, even if you were to grant that, well, then she was completely terrible at her job. She was worse than useless, wasn't she? A complete and utter failure. Still sat in that office for a year, didn't she? Still collected the ministerial wage. Still got all the perks of being the Home Secretary, which are considerable. Still took her a year before she resigned, or before she pushed so hard that Rishi felt he had to remove her, or however it played out. You know, if she really had convictions, she would have resigned quite quickly. Not, it doesn't take a year to realise your hands are being tired. It doesn't make sense. It doesn't add up. Don't trust her. Don't like her. She's as much of a criminal as the rest of them, in my opinion. If there was trials for crimes that the Tory governments did, she'd be among the first. The Home Secretary during a period of the worst invasion this country's ever seen. You're like, you forgive, oh no, she's one of the good guys. Why do you think that? Why do you think that? What psyop has melted your brain to think she's actually based? Got the nativist interest at heart and all of that. Don't get me started on the Rwanda programme. The Rwanda programme, which was only ever an exchange programme. Under her, under that initiative and under her, we gave Rwanda millions and millions and millions of pounds, our money, ultimately for nothing. That wasn't necessarily her fault because it was others that scuppered the plan. But nonetheless, again, net result, we just gave millions and millions and millions and millions of pounds to Rwanda for nothing. And it was only ever going to be an exchange programme. We was going to swap people that had come here, you know, Nigerians, Syrians, Iraqis, Albanians, whatever. We was going to swap one for one with a Rwandan person. And yet she's got our interests at heart, has she? She was one of the good ones, has she? Don't be naive. Come on. Come on. That's my opinion. Anyway, that's my take. Take it or leave it. I wonder if people will actually have a split with my own audience a bit on that take. But anyway, so the story is Braverman yesterday defected to Reform. And then there were eight. So now Reform have got eight MPs. I wonder if that McMurdoch dude, if he gets cleared of any wrongdoing and sort of comes back, because I think at the moment he's not sort of formally in the party, he's just sort of suspended or something. But maybe if he's found to have done no wrongdoing, he'll come back. I don't know about that. I should look into that in more detail. But anyway, at the moment, they've got eight. Right? And half of them are ex-Tory traitors, aren't they? And also that whole thing where they cooed Boris and they got Liz Truss in. I mean, in the first instance, Suella Braverman was a Truss supporter. But then the party, very quickly, if you remember, cooed Truss out, shortest serving Prime Minister of all time, and got in the absolute worst, that little hall monitor, weirdo Indian dude, WEF hand-picked puppet, Rishi Sunak. Right? Not that Suella Braverman was solely responsible for all of that, but she was absolutely at the heart of everything. During all of that, absolutely the heart of all of that. And of course profited from it, even though she was a Truss supporter in the first instance, still Rishi did pick her as Home Secretary when he became the Prime Minister. So she was absolutely the heart of everything. That's complete clown show, clown shoes, complete mismanagement of government. That whole thing, a disgusting mess. From Boris to Truss to Sunak. That was just one hot mess, a dumpster fire of a set of events. And she was right at the heart of it. Yet Nyjah welcomes her with open arms. Crazy, I don't know why people think Suella Braverman's good in any way. She's responsible. She was at the helm for one of the worst, if not the worst, crime ever committed against our people. On an unimaginable scale, almost. And will doom us to some sort of sectarian nightmare. And you think she's actually good. She was good. She just wasn't allowed to do the right thing. Nonsense, nonsense. In my opinion. All right, let's move on. The Eye paper. Tories weaponise mental health claim on defector Braverman as exodus grows. Yeah, the Tory party, when she defected, they released some sort of statement saying that she had mental health, or suggesting anyway, she had some sort of mental health issue. That's quite funny. They very quickly retracted that and said, oh, we put that out in error. Did you? That's a classic thing to sort of brief the press with what you really think, or something more hardline, and then take it back and say, oh no, sorry, that was an error. What we really mean is this much more staid statement. But whether it was done by error or not, there you go. It's a little blurb on the Eye paper. Conservatives forced to withdraw suggestion that ex-Home Secretary was struggling with her mental health. Braverman is latest high-profile Tory figure to defect to Reform UK. In a statement they later retracted, the Tories said that they, quote, did all we could to look after Sweller's mental health, but she was clearly very unhappy, end quote. Yeah. Ex-Deputy Speaker Nigel Evans says statement, the Conservative statement, is, quote, an absolute disgrace, quote. Calm down. I hate all this. Anything that's not completely 100% PC. It's a disgrace, it's terrible, it's unconscionable. Is it? Calm down, God. Farage claims attacks will, quote, get nastier still, quote. Yeah, I'm sure they will. Yeah, that's true. Saying the Tories face a cataclysm in May's local elections. Again, probably true. Yeah, hopefully Labour and the Tories will face a cataclysm at the ballot box for local elections, the ones they've allowed to go ahead. Okay, I'm trying not to slurp into the mic, apologies. All right, what have we got? The Metro. Metro. The Metro, God. Okay, the Metro, this morning, for some reason, want to frame everything that's going on as though it's football transfers. So more January transfer deals, and there's Nigella Lawson there, who's got a new job on the telly. Andy Burnham, Nyjah and Suella, and they characterise it as Braverman follows teammate Jenrick to Reform. Star signing Lawson confirms switch to Bake Off, but Prime Minister defends blocking Burnham's move south. All these things framed as though they're football transfers. Clever. Clever. The Metro, it's the sloppiest of the slop. It's, can't really describe it as a newspaper. It's just like some sort of weirdo globalist propaganda organ. Revolting. The FT, the Financial Times, will be saying what they're saying. Dollar slumps to 4-month low, and yen rises as gold breaks $5,100 barrier. So gold just breaking record after record after record, as I said yesterday. A bit concerning that, really, doesn't it? Because it suggests investors, market makers, just in general, in the most general, broadest sense, haven't got much confidence in everything else. Bonds, equities, commodities, foreign exchange, a whole lot. Just put your money in gold and sit tight. That's what it suggests, isn't it? Because some things are coming down the pipeline. All right. So I always think it's funny when the Financial Times, or any sort of financial news, say that there's new records and things, and new things set, and it's the highest or the lowest or whatever since And then they give you a time that's not that long ago. Like, well, yeah, dollar slumps to 4-month low. What do you mean 4-month low? So not that long ago at all. If it was a 4-year low, I'd be like, If it was a 40-year low, then I'd take interest. And I'd be like, oh, well, that is of note, isn't it? That is something. It slumps to a 4-month low. You get me, right? It's like, that's not, that doesn't really mean much. That's not much of a... All right. Braverman deals fresh blow to Tories by joining wave of reform defections. Yeah, there'll be more to come. Absolutely more to come. Probably a lot more. Probably a lot more to come. If reform get one more MP, I believe this is right, then they'll be on 9. And that's the same number as the SNP. And obviously one more than that. And they've got one more than the SNP. And then they're the fourth party. Properly, officially. They'll be the fourth party after the Lib Dems. But then the Lib Dems have got 70-odd. So it's a big jump up to that, isn't it? They will actually... Two more and they'll be actually able to say they're the fourth biggest party. So there you go. There you go. It's funny, I've got such mixed feelings about reform. Both really rooting for them and sort of despise them all at the same time. Anyone else out there that's like on the centre right or on the right that feels that way? Whilst it's the best we've got, right? If Rupert Lowe made a party, then reform would become just the out, politically speaking, the out and out enemy at that point. There'd just be a true competitor at that point. But while they're not, while they're the best realistic option on the table, there is a big part of me that roots for them, you know, right? In that by-election in Manchester, I'd love to see Reform win that seat. Why not? Why not? You know, at the local elections, why not see them ruin Labour and the Tories? Again, while it's the best we've got. They are a containment project, but... Okay, the Tory graph. What we got in the Tory graph? China hacked phones in number 10. Oh, did they? What a surprise. Years-long spying operation targeted senior figures, including aides to Johnson and Sunak. Yeah, I can believe that, yeah. Oh, by the way, Sir Keir Starling, the First Lord of the Treasury, His Majesty's Prime Minister, is on the way to China right now. I believe he's actually on the plane right now. Anyway, he's going to China. He'll be in China later today or tomorrow. Visiting Winnie the Pooh. And what he said, one of the things, the latest things he said, latest sound bites, is that he won't choose between the United States and China. So weird for I think, just my opinion, so weird for a British Prime Minister to be like that, to think that and say that and have that as a sort of a policy and a way of thinking, a way of looking at the world, is that China and the United States are somehow equal in his mind as allies, as partners on the world stage. Really? I mean, I know I'm a bit of a fanboy for the United States, okay? A little bit. There's many on the right that think the United States and the GAE is sort of a terrible thing and it's all run by BlackRock and it's all terrible. I still much, much prefer the United States for a dozen different reasons, two dozen different reasons, over China. Over China, really? Do not trust the Chinese Communist Party one tiny bit, not the tiniest bit. And they've got our interests at heart. That they wouldn't just bully us into complete oblivion. If they could. There you go. There you go. Reeves's pub support will only be temporary. We'll see about that. I wouldn't have thought so. Well, temporary, maybe they mean in terms of when Labour get out of power, someone can reverse what she's done. Anyway. BBC to use iPlayer to catch licence fraudsters. Don't pay your BBC licence. Don't watch the BBC. Don't watch the iPlayer. And don't pay your licence. The BBC needs to be destroyed, needs to be annihilated. Again, it's an enemy of the people, essentially. A state propaganda organ, which hates us, essentially, will lie to you. Can't get me on libel or anything like that. Look at Panorama. Shown to have lied. And as if that's the only example. Auntie must die. Net zero is killing energy sector, warns union. Yeah. Yeah, again, state the obvious. Of course it is. Of course it is. Trump's right. We should be tapping the North Sea for the oil there. We should have quite a lot of offshore oil rigs in the North Sea. And build a few nuclear power stations. That's what I'd do again if I was PM in Bose Britain. In Bose Britain, I would order 3, 4, 5, 6, maybe, nuclear power stations to be built. Because they take ages to be built, don't they? Like 10 years or whatever, 15 years or whatever. I'll sign off on that right away and green light a bunch of oil rigs in the North Sea. Stop paying the Chinese to send us windmills. All that stuff. Stop trying to bully normal people into having solar panels on their roof. Then a few years down the line, it might be 10, 15 years even down the line, but at that point, then, we don't have to rely on anyone else for energy at all, and it would be dirt cheap. Well, compared to what it is today. Job done. And then all the, like, Just Stop Oil people, they get out of their pram and start protesting all the place. Lock them up. Pass some legislation, some tough legislation, that if you do Just Stop Oil-type protest, you go to prison for a decent amount of time. Sorted. All it takes is a little bit of political will. A little bit of backbone. Not in my opinion, not even all that much. Right? It's not like politicians of old. Imagine the backbone it takes for, like, I don't know, someone like Winston Churchill. I'm not a giant, giant fan of Winston Churchill, but the backbone it would take to have, like, a big policy, big sort of country-changing, country-defining policy that might be deeply unpopular, and you just do it. We need more leaders like that. We need men like that. Not like Ed Miliband. Really, actively trying to destroy our economy and our energy and our energy sector. Really? The people that returned Ed Miliband as an MP, you did a bad thing. You did the country a disservice. You really did. Think about it at the ballot box next time. Think about not voting for Ed Miliband. The Daily Express, oh, it's a good paper. This is a woman that says she was born in Auschwitz. Because it's like Holocaust Memorial Day or something today. She says, now stop the hate. Right. The papers, the websites. Oh, let's go and look at the old, let's have a look at the poll we did. Okay, we said, are you enthusiastic about Suella Braverman joining Reform? Oh, it's split. Okay. Oh, okay. Not so. So it's 53% of you say no, agreeing with me. So a slim victory. However, as somebody asked yesterday, we also put in a not sure element in there. So we've got 53% say no, they're not enthusiastic about Braverman joining Reform. So a majority win there, but only 22% of you say yes, and 26% of you say not sure. So, well, it's the numbers actually clicking around and moving around right now. But, 815, 14 odd votes. So it's not just like 16 people voted, that's a few hundred people near, over 800 people voted. So, and there's now clicked down to 21% of you say yes, you're enthusiastic about Braverman. So, only one in five people watching the Bo Show, anyway. Only one in five of you are enthusiastic about that. All the others are either no or not sure. So I'll take that as a personal vindication, although not as strong. It's not sort of a 90% win, is it? But I suppose if I take the not sures, it's still knocking 80%, though, isn't it? So, all right. There you go. Not a complete break and schism with my own audience. Once again, streak, keeping up the streak of not completely disagreeing with my own audience. It'll happen one day. All right, cool, good. All right, let's move on then. Let's have a look, a quick look at the websites. Okay, get my mouse. Here we go. All right, so the US IS immigration dude, Greg Bovino, they've removed him from Minneapolis from being actually on the ground there. Well, the headline there says, US Immigration Chief Bovino, I think it's Bovino, set to leave Minneapolis after deadly shooting. Border czar Tom Homan himself will instead lead on-the-ground efforts in Minnesota City after tensions escalated. Yeah, so that guy was sort of the head shed, the top dog. And Trump wasn't happy with the optics of that Alex Pretty shooting, which is fair enough. I said that, didn't I? I think probably it was like just about a comedy of errors stroke possibly justified shooting. But the optics of it are bad, right? You can't... No, not many people are arguing that the optics are good, right? Trump certainly wasn't happy with the optics of it. And so they've sort of removed him, sort of bumped him to the side to go and retire somewhere else. And that big Tom Homan, big Tom, is going to be on the scene where they'll sort of things out. Now, that's a proper leader. I feel like Tom Homan. Like, that's a proper dude, right? Like, he knows his own mind. He's got actual convictions and the backbone to back them up at all times. That's how leaders used to be. That's how politicians used to be. Decades ago, I'm talking. It should be the bare minimum, is that, I think. The bare minimum should be a man like that. That you stand on your convictions at all times. It should be just de rigueur. All right. What else have we got? 50 Labour MPs signed letter. Yes, we've talked all about that. I accused a police officer of rape, but I ended up on trial. Bad. That's terrible. That's unfortunate. There's a big storm coming. Storm Chandra. It's going to hit Britain. It's on its way, apparently. Big, big, big storm. A story about Northern Ireland driving licences. Change to driving licences. Menopause linked to Alzheimer's-like brain changes. And they're saying the menopause actually, like, really damages your memory and all sorts of things. What to expect from today's BAFTA nominations? Couldn't care less. Let's move on. The BAFTAs. Give me a break. At least the Oscars is like the premier thing, right? It's the Premier League. It's the gold tier. At least you can say that about the Oscars, right? But like the Golden Globes and the BAFTAs. It's like watching the minor leagues of a sport you don't like or care about. Or find very, very boring. Difficult, difficult to care one iota about that. Here's the sort of story, again, don't really care about. An individual person. Family accused Met Police of failures after gay student found dead in hotel. Really, that's the most important news story, ITV News, is it? Some random gay student at University College was found dead. It's not a story, is it? It's not a national story. The front line of Donald Trump's immigration crackdown. The front line. See that woman yesterday? She picked up a flashbang and it went off in her hand. Didn't lose any digits or a sight or anything. But she was rolling around on the ground screaming, medic, medic. Like she's at Iwo Jima or something. Needs a corps man to come and save her life. Nonsense. Just nonsense. It's all LARPing, isn't it? It's all LARPing. It's all fun and games until an ICE officer actually shoots you, isn't it? That's the thing. They just don't think they'll be shooting. I mean, I saw footage emerge yesterday of that guy, that Alex Peretti, before, you know, minutes before he was killed. And he's screaming at the cops, shoot me in the head. He's shouting at them. Screaming at them. Shoot me in the head then. Go on, shoot me in the head. I bet in his mind it was all just fun and games. It was all just LARPing. If you F around, you'll find out eventually. If you play silly games, don't play silly games with armed law enforcement officers. Goading them and stuff. Not that I'm saying that justifies them killing him. Of course it doesn't. I'm not saying that. Don't go there and do that. All right. What are we at here? Is this Sky News, is it? Sky News. Relief for millions as millions of leaseholders, people that rent, as ground rent cap announced. So the government hate landlords, don't they? They hate them. All socialists and leftists and pinkos and communists hate capitalists, owners, people that own anything, really. Not just like capitalists in the grand sense, those that own industry, but anyone, any landlord. They hate them. They'll destroy them. See them ruined. It's capitalism. Evil capitalists must be must be stamped out at every possible turn. Although some rents are too high. All right. Road and school closures as weather alerts issued across much of UK. That's that Storm Chandra incoming. There wasn't anything else particularly fascinating in Sky. Let's have a look at the Daily Mail. Okay, the Daily Mail. Oh, this that same guy, that ice bloke. He's now frozen out. Humiliating end for Little Napoleon. They're calling him. Like Greg Bovino. He's a Little Napoleon, apparently. He's the Border Patrol commander. He's 5'4". Self-proclaimed hard man. Is demoted and sent back to his old job to retire after riling Trump when his men shot dead nurse in Minneapolis. Couldn't accuse the Daily Mail of having a bias in any way, could you? It's funny, the Daily Mail, a bit like the Express, and to a lesser extent, the Telegraph. But the Mail, sometimes they're really based. They'll come out with a pretty damn based story and take on the story. And then other times it's complete leftist globalist slop. You just get sort of both. I hate the Daily Mail, the Mail group. I hate them. Pretty much. I'm not impressed by the odd bit of baseness they come out with. I mean, look at that. Just completely, and utterly. Okay, all right. So, but then you got Big Tom. Boom, ba, ba, boom, ba, ba. He's coming. Coming to save the day. All right. Here's a story, see, reasonably based, that judge ordered jury not to be told that Pakistani national who raped a teenage girl in a park was an asylum seeker. This judge here, she decided that she would put she just banned the press from being allowed legally to report that the rapist on trial, who was convicted, was an asylum seeker. That wasn't in the public interest, apparently, according to her. According to this judge. What's her name? I can't remember, but it's not a very English, British name. Anyway. Oh, yeah. Nirmal Shant. Judge Nirmal Shant, playing defence on behalf of a refugee, asylum seeker, rapist. That's Britain. That's the Britain the Tories created for us, and Labour now are not doing, making worse, if anything. I said in the article that got me in trouble with Hope Not Hate and Reform, that we have to clear out not just the Home Office, but the judiciary as well. We'll have a badass Justice Secretary. Badass. And we'll pass some legislation to just get rid of any judges like this. Get rid of them. They're not doing justice, are they? What justice is there in that? How does that make sense? Revolting. Sickening to the core. Sickening. Oh, look, there's Beckham's son's wife's dad, who's a super rich Wall Street investor. Okay, what else we got? The Express. Nigel Farage just copied Donald Trump, and it's why he'll finish Keir for good. Possibly, yeah. I do think it's a little bit funny and weird, all the parallels that people like Ed Davey, or many people on the left, centre-left, say about Farage and Trump. That Farage wants to bring in a Trump-style Britain. He's copying Trump. He's using Trump's playbook. Hardly at all, in my opinion. Hardly at all. Well, the fact that he's just like a millimetre to the right of the establishment. Okay, in that sense, there's a parallel, isn't there, with Trump? Everything else, pretty much everything else, he's not copying Trump. What way? In what real way? But yeah, he's saying that... I suppose the angle here is really that there's a parallel between MAGA and reform being sort of genuinely populist in the limited sense that, before people get all out of their pram about the word populist and populism, whether or not it's a delusion or not, but just that it's popular. I just mean it in that sense, that it's actually popular, that lots and lots of people have joined the MAGA movement, are behind Trump, right? Lots and lots of people have joined reform. I believe it's the biggest party. Oh, there you go. Reform is now comfortably Britain's biggest affiliated political party with more than 270,000 members, just average normal members. So that's more than the Labour Party or the Conservative Party. So it's popular in that sense. So there's a parallel there with MAGA and Trump. But I mean, it's interesting. Reform have got momentum, right? Can't deny it. I wouldn't deny it. They have got momentum behind them with tons and tons of membership. Loads of people still absolutely love Farage. I wonder how surprised they'll be when he gets into number 10 and acts exactly like the Tories acted, i.e. ruining our country further in various ways, and not even coming close to reversing the demographic issue, and immigration still being massive and all the rest of it. Nonetheless, he is popular with boomers and ex-Tory boys and people that are like ostriches putting their head in the sand, refusing to accept that Nige isn't really got the backbone or the conviction or the worldview to do what's needed. He's popular with all those to the tune of millions, or over a quarter of a million, are prepared to bung him a bit of money and be a member. There you go. Can't deny it, can you? He will probably almost certainly be the Prime Minister, I think, at the next general election. Unless something profoundly changes in the next 3 years, which is possible. There could be some giant scandal, couldn't there? It could be some giant scandal or something or other. Who knows? All right. Rachel Reeves, Nigella Lawson, Prince Harry and ex-Prince Andrew. Let's just move on. The Sun. The Sun is particularly sloppy today. Their biggest news, I'll pass over it quickly because I know the glorious band, The Chosen Few, aren't particularly interested in slop, but just very, very quickly then to say that Katie Price's new hubby, The Sun are accusing him of being a bit of a Walter Mitty, you know, like living a fake life sort of thing. He's exposed as a Walter Mitty who boasts of a string of top jobs and posted fake AI images with celebs. Fake it till you make it. Don't do that, by the way, in life, if you can. Sometimes you sort of have to. Sometimes there's no sort of way around that, a little bit. But in general, don't fake it till you make it. Just be normal. Just be a normal human being and work hard. All right. A Prince Andrew story. Look, he's out on a horse. Mobster Grands. Really, this is the news, is it, The Sun? Mobster Grands. How some old ladies rule gangster families with iron fists. Yeah, good one. A Beckham story, Clan United. All right, let's just move on. All right, the New York Slimes. New video analysis reveals flawed and fatal decisions in pretty shooting. So I called him pretty earlier on. Okay. Anyway, again, that's what I said yesterday. Like you can slow it down frame by frame and watch it 20 times. The guys in the moment have not got that luxury, have they? That is a big element to it. Not just needlessly trying to play defense for them. But that is the reality of it. That's a big thing. All right. How we determined that the Minneapolis videos contradicted federal officials, Bovino, Trump. Okay, let's just move on from that. It's Minneapolis wall to wall in the New York Times this morning. Okay, the Washington Post. Again, not great. Trump threatens to raise tariffs on South Korea to 25% over cars largely. And here's a really important piece of journalism from the Washington Post. Does every invite need an RSVP? Second most important story, according to the Washington Post. All right, let's go over to Aussie, down under. How good? Oh, yeah. Bondi victim fears Jewish Australian patients unsafe in Western Sydney hospitals after staff changed her name. Possibly. I mean, who knows? Chaos at ABC as national broadcaster's Facebook account flooded with porn star images. Teens who allegedly damaged Anzac statue to be dealt with by police. Yeah, I saw that. This is perhaps a little bit of an actual story. So there's an Anzac statue, the Aussies and New Zealanders that fought in the wars, the Anzacs. It was damaged by teens. Was it damaged? It was completely destroyed. I mean, they broke it to bits and like graffitied all over it. See that? Damaged. Was it a bit more than damaged? Completely smashed it up. Just teens as well. Don't worry about exactly who they were or what their actual motivations were. If that happened yesterday, then it would have been on Australia Day, which the enemies of Australia, the barbarians within the gates of Australia, are called Invasion Day. Just some teens did that. Just some teens. And they just damaged it. A bit more than that, isn't it? Okay, let's hop over to Japan. I had a quick look at this webpage earlier and there wasn't anything standing out that was particularly massive. China, same thing. Same thing most days with China. I don't know. Let me know in the chat and I'll try and have a look later if you're interested in me reporting on China, because their news is... it's bland, right? Their own news organs are obviously very, very strictly controlled by the state. And so, by design, it's always very, very bland and the same thing. But do you still want to hear about if there is anything in it of interest or not? Maybe I'll just use my judgment on a day. Most days not mention it, but if there is something of note. All right. The Ruskies. What are the Russians saying? US dispatches an armada next to Iran. Believes Republic ready to talk. So that's interesting. That wasn't really in it. It wasn't in any of the British print media anyway, was it? That story, I mentioned it yesterday, didn't I? That the United States has sent a big part of their navy over to the stretch of ocean at the bottom of Iran. I just see Harry's just put up a poll saying, should we look at the Chinese papers? First few votes are coming and saying, yes, we should. Okay, but that's only literally the first few. It's only a few seconds old. Do vote on that poll. Let me know. Okay, it's dropping down now. Okay, we'll see. I'll leave it a minute. We'll see. Okay, the Ruskies are talking about how America sent an armada to Iran. If the Donald is going to do military stuff against Iran in Iran over Iranian airspace, first he's going to need a carrier group or two to be sitting just off their shores. That's how it works. Despite the big bases in places like Doha or whatever. Despite the fact that, you know, they can still reach Iranian skies if they need to. You know, like the B-2 can do mid-air refueling and fly from Missouri, or wherever it is, wherever they're based, to Iran and back all the way around the world with the help of mid-air refueling. But ideally, if you're really going to do stuff, you know, extended operations in Persia, you want a carrier group or two sitting just off the coast. And that's what they're doing. That's what they've done. That's happening. It's in the process of happening. So we'll see. Will Meyer Tusi get his wish? Just have to wait and see. Ukrainian counterintelligence agents surrender in in the Ukrainian conflict. There you go. Government of Venezuela obeys its people, does not accept external orders, says Rodriguez. Yeah, right. Yeah, don't buy that. Don't believe that. That's palpable nonsense, isn't it? Okay. UK Starmer says he won't choose between US and China during visit to Beijing. What a weirdo. What a weirdo little... What is he? History will judge him very, very harshly. I mean, he's already the most unpopular Prime Minister of China. He will go down in history as probably a bigger joke than Liz Truss even. Like a terrible Prime Minister, the worst. His name will be shorthand for a failure of a leader as a leader. All right, the Germans. What are the Germans talking about? Again, they've got storms. Bild often reports on road traffic accidents, it seems to me, very often. They mention again the Trump's build-up in Iran. Pictures of carriers, or multiple carrier groups, even. There was no massive standout story that was particularly amazing that only the Germans were reporting on. The French, they're talking about upcoming presidential elections. They ask, why are there so many French presidential hopefuls? Because French politics is, again, another dumpster fire. They've got lots and lots of different factions, even just within the left in French politics. There's loads and loads of different factions. I saw something that Hollande might want to come back. Yeah, look, so there's all different names, one of which is Hollande again, fancies a comeback. But okay, when the next French presidential elections come up, we'll see what happens. I feel like Macron himself, his base is eroded. I know a bit about it and read a bit about it, but I'm not deeply, deeply immersed in French politics, but still probably know slightly more than the average person. I've read bits here and there, so that Macron's base, his sort of personal base, is eroding. So his faction within his party are moving over to other people. So I suspect Macron won't be the president of France for after their next election there. Space science. There's an interesting thing in some science news, space news. You say, oh, look, Oman is getting involved in space projects. Oman. Anyone doesn't know, Yemen and Oman are very, very impoverished, backward countries. I'd go so far as to say that. But... okay. This story. We need a planetary neutral network for AI-enabled space infrastructure protection. It's a story just about how, as I mentioned earlier, there's so many satellites, so many objects in orbit, particularly low Earth orbit, that there is a problem, a potential issue of some sort of catastrophic knock-on domino effect failure of them all breaking up and smashing into each other. That's becoming increasingly possible. Just quickly, it says here, you may not see it with the naked eye, but in Earth's orbit, a silent crisis is unfolding, with over 11,000 active satellites currently in orbit, a number expected to reach between 30,000 and 60,000 by 2030. That's not that long away, is it, 2030? But it goes on to say that it's not just the tens of thousands of satellites, but the 40,500 tracked objects of 10 centimetres or more and 1.1 million pieces of space debris between 1 and 10 centimetres long, 130 million pieces of space debris between 1 millimetre and 1 centimetre. When things are going round in orbit, satellites, they're moving at thousands and thousands of miles an hour. So I say that because even if something's like 1 centimetre long, 1 centimetre big, that can punch a hole through something, blow it apart. Something that's 10 centimetres across could, like, blow another satellite to pieces. And then, and so on. Again, that domino effect. I have seen some people talk about how there's ideas that we send up satellites or sort of robotic machines into low Earth orbit, and it's their job to clear it up. Like, they go round in low Earth orbit and they sweep up all the debris as much as possible. That will probably be necessary at some point relatively soon. Okay, let's have a quick look at this day in history for the last few minutes, because you guys seem to like that, and I like it. Okay, so on this day, the 27th of January, various things happened. In 1820, Russian Antarctic expedition discovered the continent of Antarctica. Now, I've made a few bits of content, both for my own channel, my own history channel, History Bro, and for Epochs. Epochs of the Lotus Eaters, my history themed show behind the paywall. Epochs. I've made content about the Antarctic before. I'm fascinated by the Antarctic. Made long form content about Captain Scott, you know, Captain Scott and Captain Oates, their doomed expedition to the South Pole. And about Shackleton, Ernest Shackleton, and the Endurance. Anyway, fascinated by the Antarctic, and Antarctic exploration. You would think, wouldn't you, that we would have, in inverted commas, discovered the Antarctic, a continent-sized piece of land, before 1820. That seems quite late in history, doesn't it? 1820, to have discovered, in inverted commas, Antarctica. There's a bit more to the story than that. Like, they did sort of know hundreds of years before that. They could infer that there must be some sort of giant landmass down there. Like, even Captain Cook, Drake, Magellan, hundreds of years before that, just knew by the way the oceans go and weather patterns, wind patterns, storm patterns, they could infer that off the bottom of South America, there must be another giant landmass. But none of them actually landed on it. Also, in medieval or perhaps even ancient times, there's a suggestion that people might have gone down there. But it's not properly documented. It's a little bit like woo history. It's a little bit sort of Graham Hancock territory. But the formal story of history is that the first people to ever land on the Antarctic landmass, to get through the pack ice and actually land there, and then sort of formally discover it, if you like, was the Russians. And it was as late as 1820. I find that remarkable whenever I'm reminded of that. Okay, what else we got? In 1825, US President James Monroe urges Congress to approve the creation of Indian Territory west of the Mississippi River for the relocation of eastern Indian tribes to, quote, promote their welfare and happiness, quote. You may or may not want to characterise that as death marches. Am I going to get in trouble with the Americans? Hey, I'm half American. No, so a lot of Indians were relocated under Monroe. And it's a long story. It wasn't just like one time. So that goes on and on and on. Andrew Jackson, etc., etc. Okay, in 1924, Vladimir Lenin is placed in a mausoleum in Red Square in Moscow. So Lenin was mummified and put in Red Square. In 1924, on this day in 1944, the siege of Leningrad, now St. Petersburg, Petrograd, Leningrad, St. Petersburg, it's all the same city, in 1944, was lifted by the Soviets after 880 days and more than 2 million Russians were killed. Yeah, the siege of Leningrad, terrible one. The Germans basically, effectively, this is fairly low resolution, but I've only got a couple of minutes, but they surrounded the city, or attempted to surround the city, and just starve it out. Army Group North. Hitler didn't really have the resources to fully properly take it. He'd moved loads of men from Army Group North downwards. And so he said, just keep it under siege. We'll starve them out. We'll starve them all to death. Any food we are getting, we need to use it to feed our troops and people in Germany. So loads of people starved to death in Leningrad, froze and starved to death in Leningrad. Like, they're eating the leather from their shoes, or they're eating bark off of trees, or they're eating the wood glue from furniture. Terrible, terrible accounts from the siege of Leningrad. In 1945, Soviet troops liberate Auschwitz and Birkenau concentration camps in Poland, now commemorated as International Holocaust Remembrance Day. There you go. In 1973, Paris Peace Accords, signed by US Secretary of State William P. Rogers and the North Vietnamese Minister for Foreign Affairs, and that gives his name, Yen Du Trinh, Republic of South Vietnam Minister for Foreign Affairs, Yen Thi Binh, and Republic of Vietnam Minister for Foreign Affairs, Tran Van Lam. They signed the Paris Peace Accords in 1973, which ends America's then longest war and its military draft. Yeah, the final chopper out of Saigon wasn't until 75, I believe. But yeah, those peace accords, Paris Peace Accords, were sort of basically ended, mostly ended, the Vietnam conflict. And Mr. Nixon and Henry Kissinger, oh, how we miss him. Said that, you know, they've got peace with honour. What a brilliant diplomatic success it was. And the rest of the world saying, this is the same deal the Vietnamese were offering years ago, essentially. Good one. All right, so we are at 9 a.m. Let's read the chats. Have we got super chats, Harry? I'm not seeing them on my screen. Just let Harry do this. All right, so let's have a look at the YouTube super chats, what we've got. Field Marshal Dawn Browning quick says, and this is a quote, judge people by what they do, not what they say, said someone really important. Yeah, I guess she's talking about Breverman, is it? Yeah, judge her by her results. Disastrous results for the country and for the native people of this country. Disastrous results, so judged on that. Yeah, good point, Dawn. The Fenlander 1665 says, the metro isn't a fit to wrap your chips in. Yeah, it's not, yeah. Yeah, and it's actually cheap as well. Like, the ink does come off a bit more than other papers, so it's super cheap. You probably shouldn't wrap chips in it. Although the metaphorical point you're making is even more apt. All right. Jack Quiet 5073 says, some more book club recommendations for $20 as well. Some more book club recommendations. The Revolt of the Elites, The Culture of Narcissism, Stalin's War, The Real Lincoln, Lincoln Unmasked, Why Liberalism Failed, The Bill Gates Problem, Secret Empires, The Invisible Coup, Extortion. Okay, there you go. Thank you for that. Thank you for those books. Some things about Lincoln there. I'm very interested in Lincoln. I've made some content about the American Civil War. Got a long-form bit of content with Benjamin Boyce all about Grant, Ulysses S. Grant. One of my first videos ever. In fact, my first video ever on History Bro was about the American Civil War. Fascinated by the life of Lincoln and the American Civil War. So that's good stuff. Interesting stuff. All right. So Jukes 149 says, restart coal mines and build temporary coal plants next to where you build nuclear so you can get energy whilst building nuclear. Yeah, not a bad idea. Sure. We could look into that in Bowes, Britain. We'll have a look into that. Jack Quiet 5073 says, the myth of the robber barons, I guess this is more book recommendations. The myth of the robber barons, San Francisco, Blood Money, Bad Money, The Age of Entitlement, The Naked Communist, Apocalypse Never. I've heard of Apocalypse Never. I think I might have a copy of that on my bookshelf, which I haven't read. Okay, interesting. Thank you again. Okay, a couple more. Fortean Barber says, keep Zinho, ditch German slop. Okay, interesting feedback. Interesting feedback. We'll see if we can get more on that. Yeah, both the Chinese and the German coverage is hanging in the balance for the Bow Show. We'll see. We'll see how it goes. All right, and the last one. Mr. Pastry, 2010, says, has anyone mentioned your likeness to the Gypsy King Tyson Fury? Yeah, I've been likened to any bald man you can think of. From Richard O'Brien onwards, I've had it said. Okay, and I look like Tyson Fury, and Luca with a moustache looks like Captain Darling from Blackadder. Yeah, everyone says Luca, particularly with the tash, looks like Darling. In fact, he actually played Captain Darling in a stage show. Blackadder Goes Forth, apparently. There's pictures of that. It's true. Okay, that's the show. We are now at 4 minutes past 9 a.m. Greenwich Mean Time Tuesday, the 27th of January, in the year of our Lord, 2026, you have been a member of The Bo Show, Breakfast with Bo, Bo's Breakfast Club, The Glorious Band, The Chosen Few. Thank you for tuning in. Without you, it isn't a thing. And try and make the best of the day if you can. Carpe diem, seize the day, if you can. You only have it once. Try and make it count. Okay, until tomorrow morning, take care.
What's up, fools? Main Event Jey Uso here from the WWE. When it's just me between matches, it's day one-ish. And that means it's Chumba time. With hundreds of casino-style games and new titles arriving weekly, there's always something fresh to try at Chumba Casino. The daily boosts make it even more fun. And have me about to get them all during my downtime. Ready for a fun way to chill out and enjoy a few minutes for yourself? Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.